In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. This week in the church, we are celebrating a special feast day, one of my favorites, called the Entrance of the Virgin Mary into the Temple. It's a rather veiled feast in the church, perhaps. Christianity as a whole barely knows of it, if at all. Even in the Orthodox Church, it's probably one of the more obscure feasts for many people. But let's look at the story. Mary's parents, Joachim and Anna, were very old and had never been able to have children. And of course, that made them very sorrowful. In those days, the neighbors would have thought that they had done something to displease God, that being childless was a punishment for their sins. How wrong they were. Archangel Gabriel comes and announces to them in their old age that God had a special plan for them, that they would conceive and bear a daughter who would be the mother of the long-awaited Messiah, the long-awaited Savior. Their daughter would be the mother of God in the flesh. And Joachim and Anna, they're amazed, and of course they're filled with joy and wonder and perhaps even a little bit of confusion. But sure enough, together they conceive a child, and eventually their daughter Mary is born. Now remember, Joachim and Anna were very old and also very faithful. And knowing the role that their daughter Mary would fulfill, they decide to dedicate Mary to the service of the temple when she's 3 years old. Now, it was not common to do that, but it also wasn't entirely unheard of either. If, for example, parents were unable to care for their child, or if they were too sick to raise a child, or if the parents died for some reason and there were no close relatives, a child might be dedicated to the temple. Hannah in the Old Testament had dedicated her boy Samuel under similar circumstances. So this week's feast day is when Mary turns 3 and is brought to the temple to be raised there. In the icon in the center of the church, you'll see this event. Mary is being brought into the temple. The priest is receiving her. Joachim and Anna are there making this presentation. There's other girls there with candles to welcome Mary. They'll be her roommates, as it were, her sisters even. And so Mary dwells in the temple until she is ready to be married. And that's what we're celebrating this week, Mary entering the temple to live there when she is 3 years old. It's certainly a beautiful moment and a beautiful event, but it might make us wonder, does this really rise to the level of being among one of the 12 great feasts of the church? Is there more to the story than just Mary finds a new place to live? And to understand the real depth of this event, we have to go back into the Old Testament and think about the temple as being the dwelling place of God, the place where God lives among his people. The temple was where people could actually go and encounter God. Most of the temple was for public worship, but in the middle of the temple was a place called the Holy of Holies, and it was separated from the rest of the temple by a curtain. And inside this Holy of Holies, this most sacred place, was an altar. And on the altar was a golden box called, and I'm sure you've heard this term, called the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant. Inside this ark, this golden box, was a jar containing manna, containing the bread of God that each day fed the Israelites back when they had wandered through the wilderness. A bread from heaven, some of it was saved in this jar and kept in the Ark of the Covenant. And also in this ark, there were the stone tablets of the law, the very stone tablets that Moses had received on Mount Sinai with the word of God written on it with God's own finger. So inside the Ark of the Covenant is the bread of God and the word of God. And the whole focus, both visually and in spiritually, the whole focus of the temple is on this ark with the word of God and the bread of God in it. So everything's going along well for a long time, and it came to pass that a king named Nebuchadnezzar invades Israel. He steals the Ark of the Covenant along with a whole bunch of other stuff and destroys the temple. And the Israelites were taken and held captive in Babylon for some 40 years. After the 40 years, the Jews were allowed to go back to their homeland, and under the prophet Ezra, they rebuild the temple exactly according to specifications, with one exception. One exception. And that is, they don't rebuild the Ark of the Covenant. They don't rebuild it because they had no bread of God, no manna, and no tablets to put in it. So why rebuild it? So you have this brand new rebuilt temple, and it has an empty altar in the Holy of Holies. The temple's focal point, where God is supposed to be present, is empty. There is no ark, no container to hold God, until this little three-year-old girl walks into the temple and takes her place there as the one who is going to contain the Son of God. She becomes the ark. This altar was kept vacant on purpose, as it were, so Mary could take her place. And as we know, of course, Jesus is both the Word of God and the bread of God. Jesus is our divine Word and our divine bread. So this feast is not just Mary moved to the temple and has a nice new place to live. It's that Mary took her place in cosmic history as the living Ark of the Covenant. God is no longer going to dwell in a golden box, but in living, breathing human beings, Mary being the first. Now, there's a reason this feast is at the beginning of Advent. Advent is, of course, our preparation for the coming of Christ. And with Mary now in the temple has a new ark ready to receive the Son of God. But we who are celebrating this season are also living arks who contain God. God didn't call Mary to be the ark that holds Jesus Christ just to live in one person. That wasn't God's goal. God comes in the person of Jesus Christ through Mary to live in all people as a whole, and in each person uniquely as who you are. So this feast, being at the beginning of Advent, is saying, God has come to live in you. Jesus has come to make his home in you. The Holy Spirit has come to literally breathe in you. You are designed for one core purpose in this life, and that purpose is to contain God. That's why you live and breathe on this earth, to contain God inside of you. Just like the golden box had the bread of God and the word of God, and just like Mary had Jesus in the flesh, literally living and growing inside of her, you each have God living in you. Your very DNA contains the image of God. You receive the Holy Spirit at your baptism and at your chrismation. The Lord's very body and blood pulses through your veins and your vital organs every time you receive Holy Communion. Your spirit is stirred and moved when you hear the Savior's holy and love-filled words. And when you pray and when you meditate, you sense this divine spirit really being in and part of you. And then Christmas, this nativity season and this preparation of Advent really is our time. It's a gift given to us to reinvigorate that awareness that we are living arcs, and able to rediscover that God has come not only into the world in general, but into your heart and into your being and into the you that is uniquely you. Amen.